Is it 448? Is that a correct number? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Our audio is now live.
Okay. Hit it.
You want me to hit the music?
Hit it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, good evening. It's Robin Tate here in Ballymena. This is episode 448 of the Overseas Connection podcast for November the 11th. Remember that day. Of 2017, I am your host this evening, and I have some wonderful gentlemen with me. I have Kyle Adams and Mark Wright over in jolly old England. And if you're listening to this live, well, you shouldn't really be. You should be on Twitch or Mixer watching Mike Chin in his 24-hour gaming effort for Extra Life. But if you can't do that and you're listening to this in your car a few days later, welcome to the show. Welcome. We've got lots to talk about tonight. We have got stuff to round up from our own Extra Life last weekend. We've got the Xbox One X that some of us now have in our possession. And we've got lots of games to talk about, a competition. We have a quiz. And we've got lots of other stuff. And we don't have Greg DeLacy. He's away for that penis extension operation, which was failed last year. And I'm hopefully this year it'll give him a double the size anyway, to at least 2 inches long. So, Kyle Adams, we have Kyle from the Entertain Nerds here. Kyle, hello, good evening. Thank you very much for coming on the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thanks for having me back again. Pleasure to be here as always.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was short notice, so thanks for jumping in. A lot of our other hosts are playing football, making up to their wives for playing games for 24 hours for last year. Doing Canadian things, and the other one's out shooting squirrels. So, you know, what can you do? So you're a great addition to the show. Thanks for coming, Kyle. Mark,
hello.
You're here. You're spinning the decks.
Yes, I'm here.
You've got your wonderful shiny silver headphones on again, looking like Tweaky. Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. Things good with you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, body clock's still. Even after a week now, it's still not 100%. Still haven't got sleep patterns down, but yeah, getting there.
Yeah,
it was
tough.
So good last
it's
week,
tough.
Though.
It was like
camaraderie with everyone.
It was. We'll get into that right now.
Yeah.
So,
got a story time, Jim.
If you want to listen to this, if you want to listen to this show live, we do broadcast weekly at 11 p.m. in the UK, 3 p.m. in the West Coast, and 6 p.m. in the East Coast of America. And you can find us on twitch.tv. /OC podcast and on Mixer and on YouTube. So you can come along live. And you know what? I think story time is defunct. I think this week we've got two kind of things that we almost need to go straight to, and that's Extra Life and Xbox One X. So Kyle, I know you dipped in and out with Extra Life, so sorry, we're gonna kick you to the side a wee bit here probably. But Mark and I and the VG Hub team are, as Mark says, this week, still recovering from 24 hours, and your body clock is completely messed up. But it was a fabulous weekend. This time last week, we were in mid-game. We were still in our full stride. Just a quick update: the VG Hub team so far this year, we had a target goal of 5,000, and we have a few minutes ago, it was at 8,117, which is just fantastic. And we'll have a wee chat about Mike Chin in a minute, because he's doing it right now. He's there, and he has had some fantastic donations.
It's a shame he's doing the VG podcast, because otherwise I wanted to pull him in on tonight's show.
Exactly. He's doing the VG, Veteran Gamers podcast as we speak as well. So, Mark, your experience, you touched on it a little bit there. Yeah. What was your experience this year compared to other years even?
Very good. Like I say, it's just that last... Well, for me, it was the last hour and a half which got to me, but the rest of it was okay. I was quite worried about doing the raid.
With Destiny?
Yeah, on Destiny 2, because it was late for me. It was 12:30 we were starting. We didn't actually get started till 1 a.m. And to be doing that at so late a stage in my 24-hour session, I thought I'd be absolutely useless, but I actually really enjoyed it. It was good.
So. Yeah, but you know, you left to go and do a Destiny 2 raid.
I missed on the gears.
Left the team for the gears.
Yeah.
And one of the sets of teams were successful and one of them weren't.
Yeah.
So were you successful in your Destiny 2 raid?
No, we did three of the main stages. We got to the gauntlet bit and we did a bit sort of like shoot a bit after that, but I don't even know how many. I think there's two more stages on it. But quite a few of us hadn't done it before, and it was like a military precision exercise. You had Womble and this other guy from our clan, sort of like, who set it up on Discord, who Gary knows, called Beefcake, and they've run it lots of times and know what they're doing, and they're giving all these orders out and telling people where they need to go, what they need to shoot. If Fraser popped in my stream about 2 a.m. and he went, just put in my chat, he put WTF, how do you cope with this? It went again, but, it was really good, but it's rock hard, really hard. Hard. I thought Vault of Glass was hard, but this was intense, really intense.
Mm. And through your 24 hours, you raised money as well. Did all right.
I hit my target again. I always set the target as the default 200. I should raise it really, but. I hit 275 at the end of the night, which I'm really, really happy about. The stream makes That's such brilliant. A difference. Before...
It did, and for me too, yeah.
Yeah, at the start of the stream I had $101, and then the rest of it I got through donations during the stream, which is amazing. And some of
People
them...
People have been so generous this year.
And I don't think I'd have got some of them if I wasn't streaming, so it was really, really good.
Oh, fantastic. Mm.
Max Faded called in. Max Faded, give me two donations.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, two donations. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm so jealous of you, because I wasn't able to stream and I had this really stupid thing going on, old 90s style, photograph every 30 seconds sort of thing going to an old webpage. And I would love to have the bandwidth because it's great. But I didn't feel left out. I was doing sort of every 4 hours, like a Facebook vlog sort of thing, and that really helped me too. In fact, even this week I've had 3 or 4 donations after the fact, and I know there's a rake of cash sitting down in my office, in my head office, that people have been handing in, so I have to go and get that. So I think I'm at about, I don't know what it is, it's about almost 1100, something like that. Nice. But I should finish out somewhere like 14, so that's pretty cool.
That's
pretty cool. It was fantastic. Highlights for me, definitely stuff like when we were playing Halo. That was brilliant.
Yeah,
we had some
that
really,
was a lot
good
of fun.
And then Gears of War 4, last year the crew were trying to get to level 50 on Horde, and they got to about level 47.
I think we got to 48, it was so close.
And last year we had this guy came in, an old member of Veteran Gamers and a contributor, but he was like, you have to play as a team, and all it drove us insane. And this year we had almost an identical thing happen to us with someone else.
It's all Greg's
random
fault.
Who was do you know how to use a sniper rifle? But anyway, our team, and Mike Chin was there to 3 or 3:30 in the morning. He's like doing 2 extra lives this year. We actually hit it, and the cheers in this room when we hit level 50 was the roof came off, because it was fantastic. It was hard work and it was good, but it was great. And one thing, and I hate to admit this, Mark, but Discord this year was awesome.
Yeah,
because it brought together PS4, PC, and everybody together,
it never failed once, did it? I think at one time there was about 8 or 9 people in the Discord chat, in our chat room, the Extra Life room, and it never faltered once. Yeah, it was brilliant.
No.
And so talking of you cheering, I've got to tell you this. If you can watch it back on my video on demand on the Twitch thing. But after we did the gauntlet run on the raid on Destiny 2, I asked the guys, is that it? Have we done it now? Because there was fireworks and everything going off. And we went, yeah, we've done it. And I was throwing my hands up in the air, cheering and that. Because it was like 3:30 in the morning, 4:00 in the morning. I'm thinking, yeah, we've done it. And then we all started laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? I said, no, we haven't done it really. There's two more sections to go. What a set of bastards. Me. Yeah, so they got me, good.
I laughed several occasions when you were starting to get quieter, and then every 20 minutes Jenny would come in and go, you woke me up again.
Yeah, I kept
and
waking then her up.
You'd be quiet yeah. And then something great would happen and you would get loud again, and then Jenny would come in, you woke me up again.
Yeah, that's what we're playing Halo. Me and Greg played, we both haven't played it before, we both played a few levels of Zombie Army Trilogy. That was really good, really enjoyed that.
You used to do that at the start of the night, didn't you?
Yeah.
We will talk about Super Mario a bit later, but I mean, the most of my day up to dinner time, up to about 6:00 here, was Super Mario Odyssey, and that was awesome. That was awesome. But we'll talk about that in a minute. At the very, very end of it, I think between, I don't know, 6:00, 7:00 to 9:00, 9:00 seems like a nice time to start because, you get up, you have a shower, you have a decent breakfast, you get yourself settled, do the kiddie things that you have to do. But see if when it starts to get light, so from 7-ish in the morning to 9, that's hateful. And Chinny was going around, if you go into our podcast feed, Chinny, there's about a 2-hour podcast. So Chinny recorded us. He came into little interviews with us when we started, halfway through, and at the very end. Now, I think Gary Lever was the worst because he fell asleep. It was very funny.
I'm not going to laugh at it.
But at the very, very end of it, I was just I just didn't want to know anybody. I was like, go away, leave me alone. Yeah. I just get so fed up. You get sort of greasy and you want to shower and you want to stop and you just, your eyes feel like you've got nettles stuck in them and it's funny, even speaking to some people this week that knew me and even the ones that need some donations, going, oh yeah, it's not that hard. What were you doing? Playing video games. It's not like you went up Mount Everest. But I tell you, you do anything for 24 hours straight, especially looking at a screen and trying to interact with it. It is tough. It is. It's not like we're weightlifting or climbing Mount Everest, but it's hard enough.
Even the young members of our team who were doing it for the first time this year, Antonio and Mr. Webster, they both struggled. So, those veterans were kicking it.
Would this be something that would interest you, or would you ever see yourself doing it some year?
I would love to, but I just know I would fall asleep within about 4 hours. I have such a bad reputation for trying to stay awake during films and things like that. I know that I'd embarrass myself trying to do the marathon, but I would like to. Maybe I will try one day, but I'm just not very positive about surviving it.
Well, the thing that really helps is it's a nice big team and we're all chitting, chatting away and your voice goes because you're talking so much, for 24 hours straight, you're in the chat. And there's always something going on, and I laughed and laughed and laughed this year. I think it's been one of the very best years, and it's still going on because Mike Chin's still at it right now. So that was absolutely super, and thank you very, very much to everyone that has donated to the VG Hub team. Now, if you haven't donated and you thought, oh yeah, I really, really want to do that, I should have done it, I should have dropped $5 or $10 on any of the team members, it's not too late. It stays open. And if you go to extra-life.org and search for VG Hub, you will find the whole team there, the full roster of guys that are playing, and it's very, very easy to make a quick donation, and it would be lovely if you could do that. So thank you very, very much. I'm just dropping this on you, Mark. Mm. We do have a speak pipe tonight, and it is sort of relevant to this, so do you want to fire that up from our Lord and Master?
Yeah, from the Hero and Legend. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey, Overseas Connection crew. This is Greg DeLacy, also known as Tank Top, Fearless Leader, Murphy's Law, and I don't know, probably a few other names that maybe we don't want to talk about right here, right now. But hey, I wanted to reach out and just a big shout out to everybody on the VG Hub team that took part in Extra Life, as well as Mike Chin, who is taking part in Extra Life tonight. What a fantastic turnout and response we had from the community and friends and family and supporting these kids. Truly feel blessed and just overwhelmed, quite honestly, by the support we got. It really was fantastic. So cheers to everybody that took part in it and supported us. And a special announcement from my donation drive, I had a $100 Amazon gift card, and that went to a lucky donor, and that lucky donor happens to be Mr. Tom Nivison. So congratulations, Tom Nivison. You are a proud owner now of a $100 Amazon gift card. And I look forward to doing something similar next year and hope we can continue to see the support we did this year. Thanks again, everybody.
Excellent.
Have a great show, guys.
Thank you very much, Lord and Master. Tanked up, dickhead. Thank you. It's absolutely wonderful that you do that. Okay. So, Extra Life. It's a thing. We do it every year. We love it. And I'll just switch that off. Sorry about that. And our little team is just busting our goal every year. We're going to raise our goal heavily.
And we don't want to leave Nicole out. Nicole is actually doing hers today as well, but she's having to do a lot of hers using mobile games because she's got a lot on. But she is doing her 24 hours today as well. So
yeah, give her some support.
Yeah.
It's lovely when you get a little donation. I mean, my son Charlie, I think he's got $40 or $50. He went from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the evening. He's 11 years old. And when he woke up on Sunday morning and when he seen the couple of extra donations that were there, thanks, Mike, thanks, Stu, he was cock-a-hoop. He was over the moon, so stoked. So It doesn't matter. I mean, just tonight, Mike Chin got a donation there for 1,337.
Yeah, the old leet lingo.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic donation. I don't know if Mike knew that was coming or not, but wow. But it doesn't matter because every single one, every $5, every 33 cent donation is going to a good cause. And it doesn't matter who it goes to, but as long as it goes to VG Hub and Extra Life, it's great. Okay, other big stuff that happened straight after Extra Life. Two of us here received our Xbox One X's. And I believe and understand, I haven't spoke to Kyle about this, but I believe he had a bit of a nightmare from Amazon.
Sorry, Kyle, I've spilled the beans.
and I didn't, apart from the delivery man leaving it. Judith was in the house all day. She was there. And he didn't knock the door, or she didn't hear. It's very strange. We get lots of deliveries, and he left it in a little outhouse. And we got the email through to say your package has been delivered, and we had no idea what it was. And I went outside, and it was in a horrible rainy day, and it was sitting in a wee outhouse.
I could have gone over and taken that.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of when the original Xbox One X's the Xbox Ones were delivered.
Oh yeah, yours were left outside.
That day, and the guy came and he said it in the back doorstep, and I just came out and I said, "Oh, right, okay, it's my new Xbox." I went, "Oh God, that's what these are." I says, "He says, yeah, he's been delivering loads of them, and he's just been leaving them on people's back doors." So it would have been worth a drive around on that day to pick up a few Xbox. So what happened, Kyle? I don't know. I just heard that you had a hard time with Amazon.
Well, yeah, I pre-ordered the Scorpio edition. As soon as they went live, so August the 20th, I think it was. And it was getting closer to the day. Money hadn't gone out at that point. No update. And it even got to, I think it was about 10:30 on day of release, and it still was saying that it was going to be delivered that day, but hadn't been dispatched. And then finally they told me that it was going to be delayed only by a day. But then I noticed on my account that it was pending three times, so they were going to try and charge me £13,500, which wasn't very good, and just yeah, they just didn't let me know what was going on, really. It's just, yeah, a bit pathetic, really. I would have expected better. But it's not the first time. I think my PSVR, I had the same problem with them. I just don't know what it is about Amazon not being able to deliver on day one. But it didn't make a huge difference to me, but it's just disappointing. But
yeah. Yeah, it's odd. I mean, yeah, when it says, you know, with us here in Northern Ireland, you know, next day delivery doesn't generally mean next day delivery for us. We are always, it's always usually the day after. Now, sometimes you can be really surprised and order something at 7 in the evening and it arrives the next day, but very, very rarely. There always seems to be that delay coming over here. But generally, my Xbox One arrives on time. This here arrives on time as well, so... I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe it's
as they were updating their sort of systems and things, there must have been a bit of confusion because it changed from is going to be delivered by 8 o'clock to was expected by Tuesday, and it was Tuesday, and it just said your package was expected to be delivered today. It was just like, well, yeah, well, thanks a lot for that, but it isn't going to be. But so I sent them a couple letters, well, emails, sorry, and they replied back to the first one saying sorry. So I said it's not good enough. And also I pre-ordered Super Lucky's Tale, which was on a Monday, was meant to come out the Tuesday with the Xbox. But for some reason, the delivery was meant to be Wednesday. They charged my card twice, and they then delayed that by 24 hours as well. So I then got back in touch with them. And I think I've seen now on the internet that everyone has been given £20 credit that had a problem with theirs. Delivery of the Xbox, so I've got that, which is something, but...
Yeah, well. Yeah.
No, normally, when I complain about Amazon, they always extend my Prime another month or two, so I don't think I've paid for Prime for God knows how long, so I can just keep it extended every time they cock up.
Yeah, I've had a few messes or a few things that are broken, and I think the last thing was my old router, which died, the old Nighthawk. And they replaced it without batting their eye. In fact, they didn't even replace it. They give a credit.
Yeah, they're normally pretty good for returns, yeah.
Yeah, so and I think when you get on sort of the online chat with them. But it sort of takes away a wee bit from the excitement of that day one, Kyle.
So anyway, onto the meats of it. You did. What do you think of them?
You did get your... Yeah, you got your Scorpio.
Yeah.
So yeah. It arrived.
Yep.
How was your experience? What did you think?
Really impressed with it, but it's, I described it, I think, the other day, it's like when you get a new mobile phone these days, that it's just updated from the other one, and it looks exactly the same, but it's only since I've been using it a little bit more that I am impressed with it. It seems to, I don't know if it's just psychological, but it seems to just run a little bit better than the other one. But I'm not using a 4K TV. I do plan to get one probably before Christmas, maybe see what Black Friday has to offer. But I'm still happy with my purchase. What about yourself?
Yeah, okay. Well, I understand what you're saying. I get that. And it is a bit like that. But part of me was, I think I'd written down somewhere that I was underwhelmed with it. When I got it, yeah, we got out of the box, and yeah, the controller's pretty standard. It's got the wee Scorpio thing, and then the little box itself is unbelievably heavy. It's surprising. Oh, it is dark magic. It's very surprising. It's such a tiny little box.
Oh, it's got the power brick built in, hasn't it? So
I don't care about that. You know, you never see the frigging power brick.
That'll have to the weight, though. That's what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, you're right. But when I started to think about it, it was such a seamless process going from the Xbox original OG to this that it was kind of cool. You know, everything transferred over. It was done. The updates were coming through even beforehand. It was a very well thought out introduction to this machine. now, when I fired up... because again, I'm not using 4K either. So I've got a, where I have this is this where I have my big projector, and it's a 1080p projector, and I can't go back to TV in that room. I just can't. It's not going to happen. And the price of good 4K projectors are just 4K. And I am not throwing £4,000 on the 4K projector. If it gets to about £2,000 or thereabouts for a decent one in a year's time, great.
Well, look at the TVs. The TVs this time last year for a 4K TV, you're looking at £1,500. Now you're getting for less than £500. So,
And I mean, I paid about £800 or £900 for my projector at the time, and it's down to about £450 now. So, again, there's not as many of them made, so there's not the volume to bring the price down just as much as TVs. So, but I do expect 4K projectors to be pretty standard and as well. And in maybe 6 months or a year, it might be something that I might go to, and the original one comes out here. But in saying that, I fired up Forza, and I gotta say, even with the 1080p, it really was like going from 720 to 1080. How crisp and clear Forza was. There was a big step, even with 1080. All that magic, I don't know what all the stuff that they're doing. They're squeezing the 4K into 1080.
Yeah, but call it super sampling, don't they?
Super sampling. There was a big step. But saying that, because it was so simple to set up, and everything was the same, and the dashboard's the same, and all your games are there, it is kind of, you're right, like that mobile phone. It's, oh yeah, it's a bit faster, and the screen's a bit fancier, and there's a few new buttons and knobs on it, and here we go, and it just plays away, and you download your stuff. So did it need some Horizon Zero Dawn title at launch? Maybe. Did it need something like that? But am I happy with my purchase? Yes, I am. The dashboard is faster, and the games are faster. The load times are definitely noticeably faster.
Yeah, it's a big thing for me is the load times.
But all those sort of things are subtle. So seriously, Mark, I mean, you're not – that's odd – you're not losing out that much, because the graphics on your Xbox One at the moment still look great, but these look better, and it will get better as time goes on. It's cool, it's great, it's fantastic. If you haven't got one, if you don't have a 4K TV, it doesn't matter. Things look better anyway. But I'm loving it. It's very, very cool. Though my only problem with it is my bandwidth here is so crap that I have a queue of about 14 different downloads going on at the moment of all the updated patches for the Xbox One X, and everything is getting a big patch, and it's all 10 gig, 15 gig, 30 gig, 40 gig, and it's going to take me weeks and weeks to get all my patches downloaded.
Just one quick thing, sorry. I bought Tacoma, and I mentioned it on the Entertainers, and I was unable to run it on my Xbox One. I got in touch with the developers, and they said that to make sure it's on the internal hard drive, this, that, and the other. So I tried that, still didn't work. Then Microsoft did a patch, and it still didn't work. And when I was setting up the new one, because I use the external to transfer all settings and any games that are on there, but obviously the internal stuff, I couldn't be bothered to link it all together and transfer them all. So I thought, well, this is a good way to sort out the games I am playing and the games I'm not. I'll just install the ones from disk or whatever that I want to play onto the hard drive. So I thought, oh, I bought Tacoma digitally. I thought, I'm going to try and see if it works now. And it just so happens that it does. So I'm not sure whether that is Xbox related or whether they have done something to it, but I just thought it was coincidental that now that this Xbox, which is meant to run a bit better, Tacoma would actually work for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and again, I don't know, maybe it was the fresh install. I mean, I had my problems with Forza 7 a few weeks ago where I had to delete and re-download the whole thing, and that seemed to cure all my ills. So maybe I just had a bad install. I don't know. Yeah, look, it's lovely to have it. I hope they can push it to its limits. Graphically, it is the king at the moment out there, power-wise and every other way. So, and the titles that they have are great. I mean, if it had launched with, imagine if that had launched with a exclusive content version for PUBG, You know, wow, oh, yeah, wouldn't that have been something?
Seller. Yeah.
But saying that, I think it's, from what I can read and what I'm looking up, it has been selling like hotcakes. So it's not just for everybody, because the deals on the Xbox One S at the moment are fabulous. If you wanted to get an Xbox One, and the S deals are, what is it, like £200 with three games and a voucher and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, Rich got one with Assassin's Creed Origins and another game, and it was only £200. Yeah, absolute bargain. And I think it was a 1 terabyte one as well.
So I'm looking forward to hear what Greg says, because he has his lovely big 4K TV. Because I know I was impressed with the graphical fidelity of Forza, and yeah. But it's odd because this week, even though it's been there, last week at Extra Life, I played a lot of Super Mario Odyssey. And I think we're moving into sort of games played here, Mark, so if you wanted to edit. So.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
So, another thing that we have in common, Kyle, is Super Mario Odyssey. Shoo. I'd mentioned that through Extra Life, through the day, I'd played Super Mario Odyssey until from 9 until about 6. And I have got back to it and finished it off this week. And a lot of people have, and the victory's achieved. We'll see later. And I got to say that this is the first time I've used my Switch properly. I bought myself a Pro Controller and Super Mario Odyssey, threw it up on the big screen, and that game is one big bag of happy. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. I've went back to it today to play the after game, which seems to be as big as the game itself. There seems to be so much more to do. But I just love Super Mario Odyssey. I smiled and giggled my way through it, from the 8-bit sections to doing a sort of replica of the original Donkey Kong in the New Donk or New York section of it, to all of the different creatures that you take over and how clever they use the camera angles and the different ways you controlled Mario. I just think it's absolutely awesome. That is a system seller of a game. I know Zelda was up there and people bought Switches just for Zelda, but damn, I've never completed a Mario game, and this is awesome.
Yeah, I've been watching Mike Chin play this most of today, and it looks so good. This is the first time I've actually really, really wanted a Nintendo system. Eventually, when I can afford it, I'm definitely going to get that Switch with the Mario Edition with the two red Joy-Cons. That's on my Christmas list, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think, Cal? I know you've completed it.
I have, yeah. A bit, well, yeah, exactly what you said. Did you ever play Super Mario 64?
Yeah, a bit, but not a lot.
All right, because you mentioned the Donkey Kong bits and the 3D to 2D. But yeah, for me, the throwbacks to 64 were just incredible. Really enjoyed that. Although I wasn't too hot on the game when it first started. But then by the end, and well, now I've completed it, I'm still going back, getting the moons, and just, a lot of fun. Really, really like it. And as you say, it is a system seller, and I don't say that about too many games.
When you go into the game at the start, there is that sort of dull black and white world, and the next world that you go into is this sort of island world, and you get to take over a T-Rex very, very soon into that game, and the graphical quality of that T-Rex is fantastic. It, you know, for this little handheld console, it's just amazing how good this game looks. For a game that, I think there was a little tiny patch with it. It was very small, I think. But no, I didn't come across any glitches or anything weird or, you know, the Nintendo company-owned stuff really, really hits the ball out of the park. The quality of it is fantastic. The music, the look, when you're doing certain things, it sort of... the music sort of gels with your jumps and you know, it's, I don't know, it's happy. It's Pharrell Williams game, you know. It just makes you smile, and my kids just are itching to play it all the time. They just want to get back into it. So now I have watched a bit of Mike playing it today, and he must be playing with some dodgy third party controller, because I don't think he's playing with a pro controller, because the controller that he was playing with, it didn't have motion controls in it. Now, if there was to say anything kind of negative, would be that there's bits with the pro controller where you have to sort of flick it. You throw your hat and it spins round and round and round you. So you imagine a rope like a cowboy's lasso going bigger and bigger and bigger, and it wipes out all the enemies around you, where you flick this sort of controller in your hand. So there was a wee bit of use of the motion controls. Wasn't too bad, but I can imagine if it, for Mike using the cheap third party, I can't understand you being cheap, Mike, using a cheap third party controller. That would be an issue. But apart from that, playing it on the handheld is fine. I took it with me to work the other day and played it for probably too long. One day sitting in the car, it was okay. It controls definitely better with a controller in your hand than the controllers attached to the console itself. But god damn, Super Mario Odyssey. It's a game of the year contender. It's another one. It really is.
What I saw today from Chinny playing it was, he'll go into, he's in the 3D world and he go into a pipe and all of a sudden he's on the wall as a 2D character playing like old classic 2D Mario.
Yeah.
I thought that was really innovative, whatever it is.
And Mark, they mix that up as well, yeah, because as you step out of that sort of 8-bit look, it all seamlessly into the 3D. Yeah. Some of the extra levels I was playing there today, it was like you were full 3D in the 8-bit world as well. It's so class. It's so hard to describe how clever. Yeah, happy and clever. It's clever. It's very, very clever of the way they put everything together. Look, if you've got a Switch, buy Super Mario Odyssey, even if you're not a Mario fan. I wasn't really a Mario fan. I've tried to be. I've tried to play the games, but it didn't get me. But this has. I wouldn't say it's difficult. You know, none of the monsters or the boss battles, Kyle, were very, very hard to beat. I think there was a few. I think there was one level where you had to. It was like this strips of cold water. You had to go through this cold water and you get this floor with a jet pack on your back and you sort of went left and right and then you had to jump over these things at the end. It was annoying. I must have tried that about 15 or 20 times to get the timing just right. But there wasn't really any really annoying. I had to do it 50 times and none of the boss battles, even the end boss battle, not overly difficult. With Bowser, who's the baddie, of course, as per usual. But yeah, kind of cool. So not difficult, but just lots of fun. Lots and lots of fun. So Super Mario Odyssey. Kyle and I have played it. I loved it. Kyle is so excited there as well. You can hear it. You can see it in his face.
Yeah, no, I'm very tired as well. But very, very good game. Really enjoyed it. How many moons did you finish with?
I don't know. You asked that as how is Mike? Where did you see how many moons you actually have?
Says it on your blimp thing.
Oh, right, okay. It was 140 or something. 140. Would that be right? That sounds familiar.
I think I finished it on 173.
Do you know how many moons there are in the game?
999, I think.
Is it over 900? Yeah, 830 yeah. Something to collect in the game. The rest you can buy in the store, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. Everywhere you look, there's a wee. Everywhere you touch your little hat when you throw, there's secrets everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. God, is there really 800 odd?
Yeah.
I think there's 999.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I seem to recall. But they say that you need 250 to get the true ending. But I'm still in the process of doing that. I'm up to about 260, 270 now. So what has is
sorry,
meant to
sorry, hold on. Whoa. The true ending.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much about it, but no, get no, no, 250. No. It, make it your mission now you've completed it to get to 250.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, I know I'm in a happy place at the moment, and it's all lovely and nice, and it's pretty, and it's a girly land. You know, it's lovely. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's cool. I'm excited now.
There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I think I said to Mark just before you came on, I think there's as much to this game now as I finished it. You know, there's a big game after the main story bit is finished. So cool. Okay, what else have you been playing, Kyle?
Cuphead. I know you mentioned it on a few shows back. I'm a Cuphead addict.
Yeah, you finished it and you're still keep on going at it. I see that.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it on expert now. I've done 7 bosses on expert, and I think 3 of them were S rank. So, yeah, plodding through, but that is really, really tough. But once you've completed them on expert and then knock it back to normal, it actually seems really easy. But, yeah. There are some I just can't do.
But, I haven't went back to it.
You haven't?
I haven't went back. No. But, well, just with time, I'm busy with work. No, just over the last 2 weeks, I haven't. And I will. I will go back. But, I see you keep on playing it. I see that you keep on popping up that you're at it. And thinking, is it speed runs or what it is? But you're going on the harder levels.
Yeah.
So you've got into the flow of it then. The run of it,
yeah. It still takes me a couple of hours to actually complete one level on expert, but I do get there eventually. Still, just trying to learn the patterns and stuff because they do change. They're all very similar, but they'll throw more at you. So, yeah, some of them levels were hard enough as they were, but they've managed to make them tougher. But it's just trying to get the achievements and stuff. And there's also a couple of little hidden things, like if the actual run and gun levels.
Yeah, yeah.
You can actually do them all without firing a gun.
Pacifist or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically, unlocks black and white mode. It's nothing too exciting, but it's just things like that I'm trying to do. I would love to get 100% of the achievements on it, but it's going to be a lot of time needed. So, yeah, that is my go-to game. Just drop in for however long.
Is this still going to be your game of the year?
Yeah. It's my game of the year.
Yeah.
And was Super Meat Boy a sort of thing that you got into, Kyle, as well? No?
No, I couldn't really get on with that. Well, I've said it on the Entertainers, but with the Cuphead and why it's my game of the year is just the feeling that you get when you beat a boss... And the determination and just the sense of achievement is something that you don't feel in a lot of games these days because they hold your hand, there's checkpoints everywhere. Whereas this, it isn't like that. It's you muck up. And you always feel like it's your fault that you were in the wrong place at the wrong time rather than that the game's cheating you. But I've sat up to early hours of the morning trying to defeat bosses and not managing it and having to get to 3 o'clock and thinking, right, I'm going to have to go to bed. And then the next morning, straight back on it. Yeah, and think, I'm not going to let the game beat me. And yeah, I'm waiting for it to say knockout. And then when it does, like punch in the air, and just that sense of achievement is
brilliant.
Yeah, really is. It's an awesome game. But
brilliant.
Yeah.
Have you tackled anything else?
I have also finished this South Park game, The Fractured Butthole.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Good. Did you play the first one?
Yes, yeah. I didn't get on with the first one. I didn't really understand the combat and stuff, but once I went back to it, I got through it and enjoyed it. So this was this meant I would pick up The Fractured Butthole on day one. And this was sort of the opposite to Mario, where, as I said, with Mario, I didn't enjoy it and then really did. With this, I really enjoyed it, and as I got further into it, and especially 3/4 of the way in, I kept thinking it was going to end, and it didn't, and I wished it would. It just sort of dragged on slightly for me. I also had some very bad times with glitches, quite a few glitches. one of the bosses glitched on me about four times where I actually had to restart the battle. And then something else happened. Oh, and another one when it went to change turn and it just completely stopped. It wouldn't allow anyone to have a go. I couldn't move. So it's not without its problems, which just added to the frustration. Because some of them battles late on do get pretty tough. I thought the mechanic for the grid system worked a lot better. The turn-based element in this was better. I quite enjoyed it because I just thought of it as chess. It's like working out where you could reach and where people couldn't reach you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually thought that worked really well. That was one of the things I did struggle with a little bit in the Stick of Truth. I also thought this was a little bit tamer. They didn't have the censored scenes like what we had in the first one. And also it just didn't have them couple of shock moments. I think I'm taking it you played Stick of Truth and can think of at least two quite outrageous things that could easily offend. Whereas this one, I didn't feel overly offended, and in some ways I wanted to be, see how far they could push it. But then again, I'm not easily offended. So on the whole, yeah. I would say it's worth a play, but I just wish that they could get rid of them issues right at the end.
Yeah, I think you and I were the same, because we played the first one and left it. And I think we both played we went back to it roughly at the same time, because I remember we had finished it about a week apart or a few days apart the last time. And I did, when I went back to it and got my head around it, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I played it on backwards compatible. I think it's probably what you did as well. But yeah, it's something I will pick up. I'm just, it's just too many games. I'm sure I'll enjoy it when I get it. But I don't know, again, when we talk about Mike, I think Mike Chin thoroughly enjoyed it. But it just, I'm sort of frightened that the humor will get a bit samey. Yeah, maybe as you said, yeah, you've had enough of the humor and you want the game to end. That's always a bad thing. But
yeah, it just felt like it went on a little bit too long.
Okay, all right.
But that's about it for me. I have started Super Lucky's Tale, but I haven't played enough to really comment. And also, I am playing Destiny 2. But yeah, I don't really have a lot to say about it. So yeah, that's about me done.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Super Lucky's Tale is getting average reviews, and I think it's an average platformer. But it probably float a lot of some people's boats. But yeah, okay. Mark, what have you been up to apart from your Extra Life games?
I've played one of the freebie games on the Xbox this week. Trackmania Turbo. Which is a free offering on the Xbox Live Games with Gold, made by Ubisoft again. A lot of Ubisoft games lately. It's a lot of fun, I quite like it. It's got that Trials feel to it, whereas if you cock up, you know you're not going to beat the time, so it's one hit button to restart the whole level, or you can hit another button just to restart the chapter. So yeah, it's really, really cool. It's fast, frantic, there's some good courses, the cars are... You can't choose which car you have, they're all the same, I think. And to get the goals, it's really tough.
It's not what I expected. It's not what I expected, Mark. I thought it was a big racing game, but it's like little 20 to 30 second or 45 second levels all the way through it.
Yeah, very Trials Fusion-y.
Big, massive tracks. It's sort of almost like Wipeout style, but with a real car sort of thing. But is there any distance in this for a wee competition or anything, is there? Because it is a free title.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that because it's a free title, so like everyone on the Xbox who's got gold is going to have access to this, so I thought it might be quite cool to try the multiplayer. I've not tried the multiplayer option yet. There is a multiplayer option in there, and I don't know how it works, whether you're chasing ghosts or you're all on track at the same time, so might have to do a bit of testing on that.
Yeah, because that was the big thing on PC. You would have 100 people playing at the one time on the track and stuff like that there. That was a big thing on the, on the PC guys.
Yeah,
so we'll have to have a look at that. Cool. Okay, so Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, still cracking on with Assassin's Creed. Really, really enjoying it. It's such a huge game.
When we went to EGX, I didn't play it. Okay, I've seen it, and I couldn't be bothered queuing for it and all like that. But a lot of the guys weren't overly impressed with it at the show. You remember, Kyle? Do you remember they're saying, you know, the horses were odd, and it was just a bit odd. But you seem to be loving it.
Yeah, I'm really loving it, yeah. In fact, when I was on the bus wave this week with Kyle and Richard Natras, and I've talked him into buying it. He's actually bought it. He's bought it for the PS4. So, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm about 38 hours into it now. I've only uncovered half the map. It's such a huge game. There's so much to do, and I've not got bored of anything yet. There is a few missions where they're escort missions and usual escort mission crap, where if a person gets killed, you have to start again. But there's not too many of them. But yeah, all the new revamped weapon system, the control system, it's totally different to the previous games. Once you get used to it, it's quite neat how the bow and arrow works. If you don't like using the horse, you can press hold a button down and it'll just follow the road. And then if you press another button while you're not following the road, it'll go to your destination marker. So it's quite easy like that. And there's all the fast travel as well when you unlock the synchronization towers.
What do you mean all the controls have changed? Like running up a side of a wall and a building that sort of thing? What do you mean?
Historically, in all the Assassin's Creed games, if you squeeze the left trigger, the button layout, it always used to be on screen, didn't it? It went from passive to aggressive. So when you pull the left trigger, you start sprinting and you can go up walls, or you go into a fighting stance. Whereas when you release a trigger, it used to walk and try sort of like blending with the crowd.
Yeah.
And all the buttons would do different things like pickpocket and nudge people out of the way. But when you're running, it'd be like leaping and climbing up walls. So all that has gone now. He constantly runs, and the only way to go slower is to not push the stick fully to make him walk, or you can press the B button to make him crouch and go into cover. It pulls a lot from other games like Far Cry with the crafting, so you can you can hunt animals with your bow and arrow, and you can craft your quiver to carry more arrows, you can craft your pouches to carry more smoke bombs, and you can craft your armor to make your armor better.
So do you think then the years break away from it has done it good? It is better, you know, was the last one was Syndicate, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been a 2-year gap this time, and for me personally, I think we've done the right move. I've heard some people saying they don't like the new RPG elements and they don't want to have to level up to do a certain mission, because the missions are sort of like level specific, so if you haven't leveled up and you try to do that mission, you're going to get absolutely hammered. But I've not had that problem yet, because I'm doing a load of side missions and I'm over leveled for the main story ones as it is. So I really like it. I love the RPG addition to it. All the weapons, you can upgrade all the weapons at a blacksmith like you would in an RPG. Each one's got its own category, like common, rare, legendary, and everything. So it's a nice addition. I think they've made a good progress away from the annual franchising of it. So yeah, I think it's a good move.
Okay, well, 38 hours this week plus Extra Life. Yeah, that's taking up the most of your time. Well, a bit of Trackmania.
Extra Life. I played Assassin's Creed for a solid 6 hours in the morning, right until lunchtime. So yeah, really good. And it flew by as well.
Out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. That was a good sign.
The last game I've played is what Carl's mentioned already, Destiny 2. We're doing the raid. I've not played it for quite a while. And I have fallen out of love with it a little bit.
You mentioned.
Yeah, I got bored of the grind already. And I know you have to do the milestones and everything to get the better gear to get leveled up. But it just got to me a little bit. But I persevered this week, and I've done a few of the milestones, and luckily with the clan I'm in, sorry Nicole, you can get loot drops from that, from when people do the trials and everything, and the different achievements for the clan. So I've got some good drops from them, and I've pushed up to level 292 now, so I'm slowly getting there, because the cap's 3 or 5 at the moment, but the DLC drops in early December. So that's going to have quite an impact on the game, I think.
Your clan, does that have Mr. DeFelice in it, does
it? It certainly does, yeah.
All right, okay. So, but it's the Extra Life and doing that clan run, or the,
the raid
has given you a bit of boost again in it. You want to go back to it again?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. It's sort of like made me want to play it again, so.
Should I pick it? I don't know. I picked up the last one and didn't really get on with it.
I think you bought the last one about six times, didn't you?
Three times, I think, yeah. And I tried, and then there was the King thing, whatever it was, the Raisin King.
That was
King
a good DLC
Iron King.
Pack, that, yeah. The Taken King.
Yeah, yeah, I never played it. Okay, well, all right. Well, look, Super Mario Odyssey has been my thing this week. Some more Forza 7, working my way through it. Last week, I delved into the indie section on the Xbox console, so there is a little, it's well hidden in there, and I had a quick flick through, and I ended up playing this classic game called Grand Theft Auto, and there's a trial for it, so you can go in and try, yeah, pretty much, you're right, Tranny Theft Auto is about right, Kyle. So the object of the game is you're in this little city, you are a granny. You can steal cars, you can steal motorbikes, and you have to go around collecting muffins. And I played it for about 20 minutes trying to work out what the actual game was about, but there was no muffin count. There was no way to collect money. You just seemed to drive around and steal cars and collect muffins.
So I thought you were just doing a play on words. I thought you'd played Grand Theft Auto.
No, yeah,
I've got Grand Theft Auto queued up.
Yeah, so it's worth to go in just for the spectacle of it. There's a free trial in there. Go in, and there's some interesting little games in that indie section. There's a couple of good little platformers and other bits and pieces. Some of that is absolute crap. But yeah, go and play Granny Theft Auto just for a laugh.
I've just got it on screen now.
Yeah.
She looks like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it's very basic pretty graphics, much. Isn't it? Yeah, she's collecting muffins now. And it's a Harley Davidson.
Just, what is that about? Anyway, that's what we've been up to. I think it's sort of happening now. We're sort of getting into these lists. And I pulled some odd facts this week for lists. And there's just some odd stuff that sort of jumped out at me. So some odd gaming-related facts. First one here. Matt Damon, he refused to appear in Bourne Conspiracy game, which was actually not a bad game, I don't think, way back. But he didn't want to appear in it with his voice because he thought it was too violent.
And the movie's
out. Kind of odd. Exactly. Kind of odd, eh, Matt? Then another little thing. Again, we're going back to some old games here, but the old Godfather game, they actually recorded Marlon Brando's voice for the Godfather game, EA's Godfather game. But not long after they recorded it, he died. And they said that his voice was kind of unusable because the bloated thespian's aging mumbly voice, and they hired a sound alike. So there you go. So he actually did record for Godfather. Another little oddity gaming related thing, Midnight Club Los Angeles, which was kind of cool, was the very first game to feature branded trophies, and it was sponsored by T-Mobile, so that's when that all started. I have to say that we had people over tonight, and I went out and bought some Doritos, because on the Doritos promotional pack at the moment, you can win an Xbox One X. And I've heard of people winning stuff from Doritos every day. So they've got 1,000 Xbox One X's to give away. And
I'm going to have to go buy some Doritos tomorrow now.
Yeah, buy your Doritos. Yeah. And finally, the old Carmageddon violent pedestrian car squishing racer was only allowed to be released in the UK with zombies instead of people. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, I played that back in the day, and there was a patch, unofficial patch, you could download to put it back to humans with blood instead of the green. Because when you hit them, they were green as well. The blood was green. Yeah, there was a patch to make it back to normal. Yeah. I didn't know about the Indian version, though.
Yeah, the Indian version, the cows were removed, the sacred cows. You weren't allowed to kill the cows. No. And it was banned altogether in Germany. I'm sure Australia probably didn't take it either.
Yeah, probably because the zombies were gender neutral.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, oh God almighty. Don't start, please. Oh, I'm getting so sick of all this. Do you know what? When I was in Los Angeles or in San Francisco earlier than this year, a certain man from Los Angeles, he felt my bum. I'm putting a complaint in now. I am just, he brushed past me and felt my bum. And I have suffered from it ever since. It's like PTSD or whatever it's called. Yeah, post-traumatic
stress
Greg syndrome. Yeah. Okay, some news and one bit of news.
Here is the fucking news.
So, news this week, not a lot of news that we were really interested in because there's been so much happening with Extra Life and Xbox One X's and stuff like that there. But some news relating to the America's favorite company, EA, and Titanfall. And what has happened is Titanfall and EA were, well, I'll read a bit of the article and maybe my whiny voice will. And it is literally a whiny voice because I'm on the whine. Although Respawn Entertainment, the developer responsible for the Titanfall series, has worked primarily with Electronic Arts since its inception, it wasn't actually owned by EA. And that changes today, as EA has announced it has acquired the Californian-based developer and the Titanfall IP along with it. And it's reported that EA paid $151 million in cash and $164 million in stock. So pretty much now Titanfall and the whole IP is now completely controlled by EA. So they've bought Respawn pretty much. Now, what Respawn have been saying is this allows us to throw the funds into the game that we actually want so we can develop it even further, and it gives us sort of security for that as well. So yeah, with EA, you know, shutting down Visceral because of, well, I don't know why they shut down that Star Wars game. Why? Because it wasn't enough multiplayer? I don't know. Is it a good thing, Kyle, that this big corporate body has bought Titanfall? Or is it what Titanfall needed? Because both releases so far have been really good games, Titanfall 2 especially, and the single player in Titanfall 2 was awesome, a really, really good game. But their sales numbers don't seem to be being as good, so maybe this is a way that with sort of EA Cloud can get them up there and make it what the old Call of Duty developers can actually make, you know, the advertising Cloud, the marketing Cloud. Is something that EA can bring to them. Does this phase on you at all, Kyle?
Not particularly, although I think they will still struggle against things like Call of Duty and stuff like that. I think it's always going to be an uphill battle, but I don't know. I don't suppose it's going to do them any harm, but it'll keep them going. But I don't know. It's not something I particularly show much interest in, or who buys who, but I've enjoyed Titanfall for what it's worth, both of them.
I suppose, again, I think the only real difference will be that maybe there'll be more advertising clout behind it. Maybe they'll rip out the single player again. I don't know. I don't like this current trend of ripping out single player games, especially when things like Wolfenstein are out there with such a quality single player component.
And the single player game of Titanfall 2 was really, really good as well.
Yeah, it was excellent. I played it earlier on this year and I thought it was really, really good.
EA didn't really put the weight behind Titanfall 2, did they? They wasn't even going to put it on EA Access at one point. You couldn't get the 10-hour free trial on it. And now it's a big U-turn, so I don't know what's going on there.
I'm not sure, Mark. I don't get it. Again, with it here, when they shut down Visceral a few weeks ago,
yeah,
and now they're buying this here.
I just hope they don't kill the franchise because I really like Titanfall.
The only thing that it sort of fell foul off was release time. You know, the release windows always seem to be really bad for both the first one and this even the second one.
If the release is springtime, I think they'd mop up on the FPS market.
Well, I hope it's a good thing for you, Respawn. I hope it is, because you've got some talented guys in there.
He's got a nice bit of money for it, won't he? They've bought it for $151 million and $164 million in stock. So I don't think they'll be crying in the pillows tonight, will they?
And that's EA stock as well.
Yeah.
God, that's a good deal. That's a few nice Ferraris sitting around the place. Isn't it class that nerds and guys that were working in their bedrooms over the years can make this sort of money now? You know, it's frightening how big it is.
It's movie production money now, isn't it?
Terribly frightening. Okay, we're going to do a quiz. We've got a quiz, Kyle.
Yeah.
Quiz.
It's time for the quiz.
Why I'm here.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
Trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Love it.
Jason Johnson is an awesome chap. He is an extremely fine gentleman, a good judge of fine wine, and a fantastic cross-dresser. Really, really nice fella. And he has sent us some wonderful questions once again. So, Kyle, here we go. I don't know if you're on the scoreboard this year or not. Kyle, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he's got a couple,
but if you're not,
I got a point last time, but I had put the answers in at the beginning of the show. The previous time I was on, I got them both wrong. So,
yeah
I've got a point.
I actually think tonight there's probably a good chance that both of yous, believe it or not, will get both of these questions right. And that's something that I couldn't say with confidence.
I need to break away from Kim, because Kim's catching me.
Well, here you go. Which of the following games is available to play on the Nintendo Switch? Brawlhalla, Cuphead, Rivals of Aether, or Stardew Valley? Which of the following games is available to play on the Nintendo New Switchy? Brawlhalla, Cuphead, Rivals of Aether, or Stardew Valley? Could I? So I need your answers. After three.
Beat you to it, Robin.
You did? I was about to do the same things again. And Kyle has said Stardew Valley, and Mark has said Stardew Valley, and believe it or not, they're absolutely both correct.
Yeah. The two chaps tempted on Gamesman RPG haven't stopped talking about Stardew Valley, so that's why I knew that one.
I am actually tempted to buy it. I've been tempted to buy it on the Xbox and other bits and pieces.
I've got it on PC. Charlie, it's really good on PC.
Charlie, bad PC, but I think it, depending on how small the graphics are, it might be a perfect game for the Switch. So I've been tempted.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite well suited to the Switch.
Okay. Speaking of the Switch, by the way, I've downloaded lots of their games, and I still have. They always talk about, oh, there was no, your memory was going to run out really quickly. I'm still fine. I've got a lot of stuff. Sonic is on there, and Minecraft's on there, and a few other bits and pieces, and I haven't run out of space yet. So, yeah, people need to cool their jets about stuff like that. Anyway, second question. In Halo 5, the four members of Fireteam Osiris are Jameson Locke, Edward Buck, Olympia Veil, and A, Master Chief, Holly Tananka, Benjamin Gerard, or Sarah Palmer. So in Halo 5, the four members of Fireteam Osiris are Jameson Locke, and he was the guy that was going to really take Master Chief to task, Edward Buck, Olympia Veil, and A, Master Chief, B, Holly Tananka, Benjamin Gerard, or D, Sarah Palmer. What would your answer be?
Just give them answers again right quick.
Okay, so Master Chief, Holly Tanaka, Benjamin Gerard, or Sarah Palmer?
Right.
So I need your answers after three.
I'm not confident with this one.
Okay, so both of the gentlemen have said Benjamin Gerard, that fantastic gentleman Benjamin Gerard. And if they had have said Benjamin Gerard together, they would have been absolutely wrong, and they are. It's Holly Tanaka. Holly. And
the only one I knew it wasn't was Master Chief, because he was part of the other team who was Osiris were hunting down.
That was a tricky question. I thought you sort of got both. But,
I have no idea.
All right, well, very good. Thank you very much, Jason Johnson, for that. That is absolutely wonderful. Kyle, something for you to do. We have some nice new releases coming out from the 11th of November, which is today until next Friday. What are the games that we can purchase over the next week?
You will be able to get L.A. Noire remastered on the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on November 14th.
Stop. Why?
Why? Because I didn't finish it the first time, and it might as well look better when I play it again.
Yeah, L.A. Noire on the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy L.A. Noire, but did it really need to be remastered and done again?
Probably not.
Yeah. Anyway,
I have pre-ordered it.
Oh my god, really? Okay. All right.
Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, November 14th. Demon Gaze 2, PS4, Vita, November 14th. Rime on the Switch, November 14th. The Sims Cats and Dogs PC, November 10, which is before when this is meant to be. Is that right?
We are time traveling.
It doesn't matter. If you're into that, you'll know when that comes out. Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon on the 3DS, November 17. And finally, indie title Star Wars Battlefront 2, PS4, Xbox One, PC, November 17.
Now, there's a game. I bought the first one and played it quite a bit, but not enough to justify my purchase. And I'm terrified that Star Wars Battlefront 2 would be the same. I'm very interested to see what the single-player component is like for it. But if you have EA Access, you can tack into that 10-hour free trial right now. So you can maybe get your 10 hours out of it and have everything you want. So that's a nice touch with EA Access. You get that?
I've actually downloaded it, but I've not tried it yet. But yeah, I'm definitely good. I don't know whether to play some multiplayer, some single player, or just put all the 10 hours into a single player. I've not decided yet.
Can't imagine the single player being that much longer than 10 hours, can you?
I don't know. But I know from previous EA 10-hour trials, it annoys the hell out of you because every 2 minutes it pops up saying you've got so long left. So whether it does that again, I don't know. But we'll see. Battlefield 1, that was it. Battlefield 1 multiplayer kept popping up saying you've got so long left. That was a pain.
Yeah, well, just like Battlefield 1, I have it sitting ready to play. I played the first bit just before Extra Life. I was intending to play it at Extra Life and I didn't. I'll maybe just wait, because it'll end up in the EA Access vault, which is a lovely, lovely thing if you're not in a panic to play. Mark, are freebies, which are now available?
The Games of Gold, they actually change in 4 days. So in 4 days' time, there'll be some more games available. At the moment, from the 1st to the 30th, you've got Trackmania Turbo. And then from the 16th to the 15th of December, Tales from the Borderlands, a full season, is available on Xbox One. 360 and also Xbox One backward compatible. Nights into Dreams is available 1st to the 15th, so grab that while you can. There's not many days left on that. From the 16th to the 30th, there's Deadfall Adventure for 360 and backward compatible.
What is that?
I don't know. I know Kim was mentioning it, saying it looks quite good. I don't honestly know.
Must be a Match 3 game, is it?
Gems of War Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, if you haven't played Tales for the Borderlands, it's one of the very, very best Telltale games out there, so it's well worth grabbing that and playing it. And Trackmania Turbo seems to be like an interesting little dabble too. I have no idea about these other two Xbox 360 games. And for PlayStation,
yeah,
November,
PlayStation, we've got Worms Battlegrounds on PS4, Bound on PS4 and PSVR, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, which is a bonus PlayStation game if you've got PSVR. It's PSVR only. That's You, which is a PlayLink game where you use your phones. R-Type Dimensions on PS3. Ragdoll Kung Fu Fists of Plastic on PS3, which sounds fun. Dungeon Punks on the Vita and PS4 crossplay, cross-buy. And Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse, Episodes 1 and 2 on the Vita.
Yeah, the Broken Sword games are always good. And then Vita. Vita's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Vita, still going strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, it's always nice to get free stuff. There's so much opportunity to get free stuff now between PS Plus, Xbox Live, the Xbox Gold program there with 115 games in it now for your sort of Netflix-type subscription every month. There's so much stuff. I mean, if you're jumping into a console right now, there is so much back as well, especially, sorry, Sony people, but especially if you have never had an Xbox before, if you were to go in there, grab an Xbox with a good deal, an Xbox S or a Xbox One X, grab EA Access and the Gold subscription thing. What a backlog of games you have there. What a fantastic backlog. So, cool. All right. Where are we? Playdates. Yeah, so there's been some chat amongst the podcast crew that, well, one, we haven't been really good with our playdates. Because sometimes we, with the best intention, sometimes organize it and don't get there. And two, just nobody seems to be available for them. Now, that's, we have had people jump in and we've had some good nights on Halo and stuff like that there. But I think there's just so much choice out there at the moment that it's quite hard to do that. So I suppose the thing goes now is, if we're on a Sunday or any other night, if you see us, please jump in. Just jump in and play. That's the thing to do. And not just us. Surprise yourself. Jump into somebody you haven't played with for a while. But if you see one of the podcast guys on, jump in and play with us. Because we love a good chat and we love a good game. Okay. Year of Living Game, just like. It's almost at a year. So we're almost done. And it has been a fantastic year for the Year of Living Game, Justly. And we've had people that have hit over 50 games finished. We've had several people have hit their 30s. And because we missed last week because of Extra Life, we have got quite a backlog to go through. The idea of Year of Living Game, Justly, was that you tacked away 30 games that you hadn't finished and worked your way through them. Stuff that you'd bought and just threw to the side. And it has been heartwarming with the odd message that I get. And there's been a few of them this week that they had thoroughly enjoyed the game and they would have never went back to if it hadn't been for YOLG. So the other part of this is, if you're a new listener, is when you finish a game, what we'd like you to do is you take a selfie of yourself with the credits going in the background. So when you finish the game to the titles, and you, what you do is you send that off on Twitter to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved, and you get entered into a free draw to win money for Xbox, PlayStation, PC, or Nintendo. And we will draw that randomly from all the people that have completed their games once every 3 months. And at the moment, we're in the middle of a cycle. It goes until New Year's Eve, and that's when the next draw will be done. And the people that have finished their games over the last week or so, now we've had Filthy, he finished Metro Last Light for his Year of Living Gamerously. John Mouse, he finished Assassin's Creed Black Flag. That's one of the guys I'm talking about. He finished it and absolutely loved it. And
yeah, it's a good game, aren't
I love Black Flag. I think it's one of the best games ever. I think it's brilliant. Good pirates. Denok TQ finished Resident Evil 6 and Caliburn M finished Infamous. And then people that have just randomly finished games, we had Teflon, Jason, the good lad himself, finished Cuphead. Colin All Cars finished South Park, The Fractured Butthole. Empire 343 finished Borderlands 2. Batch Gaming finished Resident Evil 7. Amras finished Metroid Samus Returns. And the first of many, Colin All Cars, also finished Super Mario Odyssey. Flecky finished Tokyo Dark. Chinny 1985 finished South Park, The Fractured Butthole. Gunslinger finished Gone Home. Kyle Adamski finished Super Mario Odyssey and South Park, The Fractured Butthole. And then myself, Bongo the Sane, finished Super Mario Odyssey. Amras also finished Super Mario Odyssey. And Richard Natras finished Super Mario Odyssey. And Flecky finished Fallout 4. That's a lot. Very well done, everybody. You are automatically entered into the draw. And well done for finishing all those games and being so on point with the latest and greatest.
That's I played it, but there's no sound coming out.
Play.
Not playing.
It's okay. Hold on.
I don't know why he's done that. I'll restart the sound.
Okay, let's do it.
It's a victory achieved.
See, I can't do that.
Oh, I know why. What a dumbass. I lowered the sound with the background when we did the prices, right? Yeah, right, you ready now for proper version?
I'm ready now. I'm ready. Do it.
Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved.
I can never go a full week without doing something wrong. It's not the same, is it? So.
Judith would say I can't go 24 hours without doing something wrong, but there you are. Yeah. Look, if you want to join in, I don't know, did we have the chat open tonight? Hopefully everybody's over watching Mike and giving Mike some support, but has anybody been in the chat tonight?
Yeah, we've had a few people in there. Soul Brother, Sarah, RCGC, Martin, the sort of like regulars, Baron Von Glower, another regular. Dinkster UK in there, Chazza272, Teflon 12. Couple of other people in there, some not so nice people, which I've had to sort of like quieten out.
You had the ban hammer going.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, ban hammer, E passed away.
No. Steptoe.
No, not E. Steptoe.
He's going to be out at two of them.
Steptoe passed away. Yeah. And we might have mentioned this before, but it still strikes me as like, wow.
Yeah.
So Steptoe was the third member of Major Nelson, or the fourth member of Major Nelson's podcast. And he had been ill. I didn't realize. And he had left Microsoft and moved on. And he was the famous guy that read from the Book of the Law about, and he was in charge of sort of security over the Xbox system and stuff like that there. And he was a very charismatic guy. Very, very funny guy. And it's very, very sad that he's gone. So, hearts out to his family. Okay. So, another wee little shout out just when you mentioned there in the WhatsApp chat as well. Not the WhatsApp chat, the Twitch chat. Sarah, thank you. Thank you. Extra Life last weekend. You were brilliant. Man, you were everywhere. You were watching my wonderful, perfect 1080p stream. You're watching everybody's stream and you give us lots of support. So, Sarah, just a wee quick quiet shout out to you. Thank you very much. We love the support. Anyway.
And it was also just Sarah. I had Baron Von Glower in my stream most of the day. Martin popped in there a few times. Lee, who's been with us since the old of 35 days. A load of people just supporting all of us all throughout the day, brilliant. Popping in throughout.
Super.
Yeah, absolutely amazing, yeah. Yeah, really, really makes it worthwhile. And it goes to a great cause as well.
So, if you want to be part of that chat, if you want to be part of there and sort of the live chat, you want to be part of that conversation that we have every week, you can drop into twitch.tv/OC podcast or on mixer.com/OC podcast or on YouTube as well, you know, and that happens at 11 o'clock in the UK, 3 p.m. in the West Coast, 6 p.m. in the East Coast. Those things called reviews are lovely on YouTube or iTunes. And, of course, we've got clubs and stuff like that. We have this fantastic thing, which is wonderful and a pain in the ass all at once, called Discord. If you go to discord.ocpod.com, and I'll tell you, Mark, why it's a pain in the ass.
It's a future. And
other people have complained.
Yeah, notifications.
So you keep saying. Yeah. Notifications.
Yeah.
Can I switch notifications off for when somebody starts a stream?
I don't know.
Can I do that? I
can stop it doing the at everyone.
Deleted the group a while back.
But then people won't know when people are streaming.
But I thought I was deleting it for me, but I deleted it completely. But just, you keep on, I look at your phone and I can't, there's a little red notification that's 3 or 4 or 5 new messages in there. And even if you're not interested, you have to go in and see what they are. It's an OCD thing. You have to do it. And so somebody's went on a stream again.
Well, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean 10 different ones, 10 different groups.
Oh,
so
nightmare.
I've always got notifications, always.
It's a nightmare. It really is. It's great, but there should be a way that you can silence stuff that you don't want to see those notifications pop up. It's a pain in the butt. Anyway, but Discord, big claps to Discord for Extra Life. It was fantastic. It's great for chat, live chat. Really, really good. And messaging, I don't know. Might delete it for a while until needed again. Anyway, can you play the sexy music now, Mark? The sexy thing.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Fabulous. Kyle, thank you very much for coming onto the show. Would you like to plug your own show, or would you like to shout out to anybody?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure as always. Mark, the second time I've podcasted with you in 4 days. Again, a pleasure. My show, Entertain Nerds, check that out if you need a... That was a cat jumping on a roof, if you heard that. Entertain Nerds, if you need another show in your life about all things TV, gaming, sport, and anything else. The Boss Wave, Mark and I were on that the other day, so shout out to them and also Nat. Chinny and everyone else done Extra Life or doing... Yeah, good job, guys. Maybe 1 year I will join you. My Destiny 2 buddy, Cole Palmer from Entertainers and a Band of Gamers. We've been having fun on that. But I think that's it, really.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Kyle. Mark?
I want a big shout out to Kyle for joining us again and to Nat for asking me on the Boss Wave this week. It's the first time I've been on there, so that was great. I want to shout out everyone who supported me for Extra Life, all those who donated, all those who called in the stream. There's such a huge list, I don't want to run through it because it'll take too long and it'll be boring. But yeah, everyone knows who they are, and thank you very, very much. And also a big shout out to Chinny and Nicole, who are doing their 24-hour right now. So I hope they do have a great time. So it just leaves you, Robin.
Well, I am going to shout out everybody on the team. Mike Chin, Greg DeLacy, Guy DeFelice, myself, Phil Olson, Antonio Phillips, the Wolowitz family, Mark Wright, Gary Lever, Kim Woods, the Bennett Seacrest, Nicole Rodowski, Daniel Knapman, Lewis Remendo, Charlie Bopp, and Nick Oild. Guys, yous have been wonderful. And what a fantastic team yous are for Extra Life this year. Thank you very, very much for all your efforts, for being tired. We've blown it out of the water. Now the raised money hasn't actually went up since we've started the show. It's now at 8142. So please go to extra-life.org. Go and see Mike Chin playing right now until 9 a.m. UK time tomorrow morning. Please go and throw a few bob into that pot. It would be lovely if we woke up tomorrow morning and that 8142 said 8500. It would be flipping awesome. So also, one last thing we plug there. Mike Chin has an auction going on at the moment for a SNES, the new mini one. Now, I haven't looked since we started the show, but at the beginning of the show, the auction total was sitting at £150 for this.
Yeah,
you were winning. Bear with me if I can just refresh this, because Chopper Kelly, the bastard, was pushing me up. And I'm just doing a refresh here, see if it comes up. But yes, if you want to donate to Chinny and win a nice SNES as well, that would be the way to do it. Why is that not updating? Anyway, it's at 150 quid. I hope it doesn't go much higher, please. Please don't go much higher.
Well, I hate to tell you, Robin, I've got the live stream on right now, and it's at 160, so you've been outbid.
Chopper so Kelly,
you're going to have to get your hand back in your pocket.
Oh, I'm just going to have to drop the mic, aren't I? I'm just going to have to drop the mic. I'm just, in fact, let's do this live right now. Shall we drop the mic and... frigate, bollocks. See you, Chopper Kelly. Here we go. Mic dropped. And you can refresh it now. See what the bid is. And that should do it. Yeah, so there's now 200 on an SNES. Hopefully that'll put Chopper Kelly away. I don't want to do it anymore. Please stop, Chopper. Anyway, everybody... thank you very much for supporting us. Thank you very much for listening to our humble podcast. Thanks to Mark for running the decks tonight. Thanks for Kyle for coming along. The rest of the team will be back here next week, and I'm sure Greg will be back as well. To Chinny and Nicole that are out there still doing their stuff for Extra Life, keep at it, guys. And we will catch you all next week. Have a great, wonderful, and safe gaming week. You'll get me at Bongo the Sane, and I'm here for your pleasure. Good night, everybody. See yous. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
And jump over to Chinny's stream right now.
Have you ever heard of Extra Life?
Extra Life.
What is Extra Life?
I'll explain it to you real quick.
Extra Life le da la oportunidad a la comunidad gamer de hacer la diferencia recaudando dinero para ayudar a los niños y niñas de Estados Unidos, Canadá y Puerto Rico.
Extra Life is a way for us as a gaming community to give back to our real life communities by raising money for our local Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Which is a network of hospitals where every kid that goes there is treated regardless of their financial situation.
El 100% de ese dinero se queda local en tu hospital o fundación a la que tú representes.
100% of the proceeds go to your local Children's Miracle Network Hospital, and what's doper than that?
The funds go 100% to those hospitals. They help kids who are sick get treatments, pay for training for their doctors.
Whether it's a broken bone or cancer, no child is turned away.
All you have to do is sign up over at extra-life.org.
Extra-life.org.
Extra-life.org. Sign up.
Join a team, join a guild, or participate solo. Then pick which local Children's Miracle Network hospital you'd like to play for. After that, all you have to do is get friends and family, coworkers, that awesome neighbor down the street to donate to your Extra Life fundraising goal. Heck, you can even convince them to join your team and play along with you to be a hero in real life.
Sign up for Extra Life and become a hero just like me.
Play games and heal kids.